Hi, this is Lisa Garr. Welcome to The Aware Show. We are heard Sunday mornings at 9:30 in the morning. We're a lifestyle show. We talk about anything that has to do with improving the quality of your life, your health, your wealth, your relationships. Today, we're talking about making a difference in other people's lives. And as a matter of fact, by doing that, it really tends to make a big difference in your life. There, if you go to Google and you Google the phrase make a difference, you get over 28 million hits because there's a whole movement out there about making a difference. There's a national Making a Difference Day. There's millions of ideas on the internet on how you can make a difference. The guy that I'm interviewing today, his name is Greg Husko, and he wrote a book called Making a Difference by Being Yourself, Using Your Personality Type at Work and in Relationships. So we're going to talk a lot about how to make a difference in other people's lives by understanding who you are, making it easy for you to make a difference in other people's lives. If you're more of a leader, you can make a difference that way. If you're more introverted, then you can make a difference that way in a way that makes it very easy for you. So we will be right back. And you can also check out our website at theawareshow.com for information about our show and all of our past guests as well. All right, I will be right back. Hello, welcome to The Aware Show. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. I'm your host. And you can visit our website. We have been doing The Aware Show for the past 8 years. We have over 1,100 recordings of great best-selling authors, people who make a huge difference in this world. So check out our website at theawareshow.com. And you can listen to all of those shows and more. And talking about making a difference in your life or in other people's lives, I mean, there's people that we hear about on the news, unsung heroes, and even sung heroes who make big differences in people's lives. Well, my guest today, Gregory Husko, wrote a book called Making a Difference by Being Yourself. And he's talking about making little differences that can, in turn, make a big difference for people. Welcome to the show, Greg. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I look forward to it.
So tell me about some examples of how you can make a little difference to make a big difference in someone's life.
Sure. Well, first of all, I might mention that I interviewed 500 people and asked them to tell me three stories each: a time they made a difference at work, a time they made a difference in a relationship, and a time they made a difference in their community. And then as part of the study, we also had information about their personality types. And so then we went back through the stories, and we found that different personalities make a difference differently.
Explain.
And so what we discovered is by being yourself, your natural personality, you can make a difference. Like, I remember one woman that I talked with, she was trying to make a difference in her relationship with her stepson. You know, it was a second marriage, and the boy was a little bit resistant to the new mom, and she felt like she could help out and also wanted to have a better relationship with her son. But she was of a type of personality we'll call the stabilizer type, and we can explain that later. But the way she made a difference isn't by kind of just reaching out and showing her warm affection and whatnot. She just very systematically taught the boy how to raise a puppy. And they connected and bonded on this learning how to care for a dog. And as a result, they've got a terrific relationship now, and from there grew to a very close relationship.
Well, let's talk about those four core personalities, and maybe people can understand how to correlate who you are with how you can make a difference.
Okay. The first type that I looked at, we'll call the stabilizer type. And, you know, Lisa, these are the people that are just like salt of the earth types. You know, they're real dependable, practical, matter-of-fact kind of people. They believe in common sense, and they try to live their life out of common sense. And so they look at problems and break it down one step at a time. They focus on the here and now and a lot of the details, but they make a difference by breaking down complex issues into a series of steps and taking this matter-of-fact approach to make even emotional issues feel more calm and less stressful.
I know people like that. Okay.
Yeah, they're wonderful people.
Definitely. Okay.
The second type is the harmonizer type. Now, these are the true people. You know, they're the folks that if you told them something about yourself, they wouldn't have to memorize it. It would just stick in their brain. They just remember things and details about people. They don't like conflict. They try to keep people happy. They tend to be quite civil and respectful in general and prefer proper behavior and put some civility to the workplace. They can make even impersonal tasks feel personal. very considerate kind of people. You know, one of the things I love about the harmonizer types is they help people feel included. You know, they're the kind of person that if there's a conversation going on and they see somebody kind of off to the side, they find a way to bring that person into the conversation and help them feel included.
Now, is this based on the Myers-Briggs technique?
It is. It is. If you're familiar with that instrument, it's focusing in on the middle two letters of the Myers-Briggs type code, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so
then the other one is a catalyst?
Yeah, the third type is that catalyst type. And these are very kind of inspiring types. They bring a lot of warmth and enthusiasm and energy to situations. Tend to be creative types, have a real gift of communicating, especially regarding values. And they think change happens by building relationships and networks, and together we can conquer all kinds of things. So they want life to be enjoyable but meaningful, and they dedicate time to bring people together to deal with causes. So they make a difference by inspiring people to deliver their strengths.
CEOs and heads of companies and stuff like that, right?
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Though these are very caring CEOs, very caring ones. So they're not the impersonal types, but
right.
The ones that are real reaching out and pulling people together types. Yep.
Okay.
Then the final type is the visionary type. They also oftentimes are the CEO types, but they're the types that kind of impersonally put the pieces of the puzzle together. You know, they're really curious about possibilities and information, and they find a way to try to form the big picture. And so they challenge themselves and others to higher levels of achievement.
So tell me a little bit, Greg, about you and who you are. What type of personality are you, and what's your background in writing something like this? Why did you come about this?
Well, to use this framework here, I would score over in the visionary category, the NT, if you're familiar with the Myers-Briggs terminology anyway. But really, I'm a lucky guy, period. I went to school originally to become a basketball coach and math teacher and screwed up along the way and became a psychologist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've always been fascinated with teams, you know, what it takes to get a group of individuals to really kind of meld together and accomplish lots of things. And to make a long story short, I dropped out of school at one point in time and had a job in a auto plant, and I ended up getting fired 4 times in 5 months. The first two weren't my fault, but your HR listeners hear that all the time anyway. But I'm a lucky guy. It just really turned me on to taking a look at people and work situations and the way people build relationships both within and outside of work.
So you took that experience and you really got the highest learning from it, right?
I lucked out, yeah. It really got me really interested. So I went back to school and switched over to psychology and ultimately got my doctorate in something called industrial organizational psychology. So I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm a person that concentrates mostly on issues in the work setting regarding human behaviors and feelings.
Okay, well, that's interesting within itself.
Yeah.
And then, so I understand. I make the link now between personality typing and that how that ties into what you did for a profession.
Mm.
And I was noticing there's these personality types that come out of the Myers-Briggs.
Uh-huh.
And there's more of the people that are more, say, outgoing, and there's less of the people that are introverted. Isn't that interesting?
Well, actually, that's not true. That's about a 50-50 split in the U.S. population.
Really?
But to make a difference, you do have to kind of reach out. And so even if you are naturally introverted, doesn't mean you don't want to speak up and try to get things going and whatnot. But all types have to reach out and have the courage to take the risk necessary to make a difference by being themselves.
Okay, so give me an example of how somebody would do this at work, where they could make a difference in someone's life, and they're introverted.
Okay. The introverted type that makes a difference really is terrific at just figuring out a plan. Like I remember guy that I talked with, he worked in a race car, in the NASCAR circuit, and one of the problems they had was pit crews were frequently kind of not being at the right place at the right time for different time trials and different elements of it and whatnot. So he just went off on his own and put all the information together and put it on a card so that each day people had an exact time schedule of where they're supposed to be and when. And he laminated these cards and actually put them around the neck of each of the pit crews, sort of thing. So he took what felt like a complex task and broke it down to something real simple. And then off on his own, he planned this out and approached then a couple of the pit crews. They went along with it, and things went so smoothly afterwards that they adopted that system, and he was sort of the brains behind the scene on that.
Well, that's a great example. And people who are, as you said, that are the stabilizers, the people that like to break down things.
Yeah, that guy was a stabilizer also. Huh?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That happens to be the most common type in the U.S. We've got a lot more stabilizers and harmonizers in the U.S. than we do any other types. But we do have maybe about 16-17% of the population that are catalysts, and maybe another 10 or 11% that are visionaries.
So, what would you say that one person has the capability of making more of a difference than others, or is it pretty much straight across the board?
You know, each of these types make a difference. They just make a difference in different ways, and we find that by trying to be yourself rather than being something you're not, you're more likely to make a difference more effectively and more efficiently.
Well, I think, you know, people tend to get busy in their own types of lives and don't really reach out beyond their own safety or survival net to make a difference, even think about making a difference in somebody else's life. Have you found that?
Well, certainly survival is important. And boy, in these tough times, we've got to take care of ourselves as well. And by taking care of ourselves, we're prepared to help others. But we've got relationships in our lives, and we've got hopefully work in our lives as well. And to wait for others to make a difference, we're probably all going to be sunk. I think we all need to, the slogan, think globally, act locally. We need to understand the big picture, but in our own little sphere of influence, we've got an opportunity to make a difference. And you know, I think one of the things about making a difference is it's something that when you make a difference for someone else, you actually make yourself happier as well.
That is a great byproduct. Yes, exactly. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and during the break, I invite the listeners to think about a way that they have made a difference in someone's life. Really think hard about that, and if you haven't, maybe this next part of the interview will help you understand a way that you can make a difference in someone's life. We will be right back. My guest is Greg Husko. He wrote a book called Making a Difference by Being Yourself. We'll be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show. Welcome back to The Aware Show. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. And by the way, we are a health and lifestyle show. If you're just catching us for the first time, and you can log on to our website at theawareshow.com, and we've got archives of the past 8 years that we've broadcast this show, all sorts of great information, best-selling authors, and people making a difference in the world. And among them is Gregory Husko, who has written a book called Making a Difference by Being Yourself. Now, apparently, if you Google make a difference, if you Google that phrase, make a difference, you get over 28 million hits. And there is actually a national Making a Difference Day. So this isn't just a concept or something that you happen upon or something that you do by mistake. This is an actual day. It's in October. But there are millions of things that you can do to make a difference in somebody else's life. And it actually, what winds up happening is it makes a huge difference in your life as well and makes a very, very positive impact on you. So, Greg, tell me a little bit about your involvement with Making a Difference Day and what your experience has been with that.
Yeah, and what I've tried to do is try to make sure it's not just one day, that it's something that we make as an ongoing sort of habit or whatever. But USA Today, the newspaper, has dedicated the last Saturday in October as a Making a Difference Day and has put aside some funds to help those people that want to make a difference in their community in particular, you know, some projects that everybody's been thinking about doing but never got around to doing it or whatever.
You
find that to be happening, but boy, there's so many others like AmeriCorps and alternative spring breaks for college students and Habitat for Humanity. There's a whole lot of wonderful things going on, and this movement seems to be really catching on in the last decade or so.
Can you give me an example of how people have made differences in, say, a work environment?
Sure, yeah. There's small examples and big examples sort of thing. I remember talking to one type, the person that was a harmonizer type. She made a difference by helping a nice word to call a geek, but a wonderful person that had helped her kind of learn the job, but didn't have the social skills to kind of hang in with the rest of the group there, and always got left out, never got taken out to lunch with the rest of the crew, and kind of got left out of conversations and whatnot. And so she included her in as much as she could, and helped her understand the kind of inside jokes of how this group kind of teased each other and got along together. So she made a difference by helping this person who was just an actually great contributor to the work setting feel included and be part of the team that had somewhat ignored her before.
What about in a relationship different situation? How could someone make a difference there with someone who's maybe close to you?
Yeah. Well, I remember speaking with a guy that him and his wife, now this is a visionary type, so they made a difference in a relationship in kind of an impersonal sort of way. They decided that they were going to negotiate their roles in their second marriage. It was a second marriage for both of them. And they really thought it all through in advance. And in fact, they were so pleased with it and felt it was working so well, they now kind of offer that to other couples as a way to help make sure that you get off on the right foot if you're entering into a second marriage. And I had another person that, a simpler example, she went to her friend's grandfather's funeral because her friend was doing a semester abroad. She was a college student and was over in Europe and wouldn't be able to come back for her grandfather's funeral, but her friend kind of represented her at the grandfather's funeral, and her friend felt so good that her friend was there and speaking for her, if you will, at her grandfather's funeral.
So this is just basically little things that you can do, and that was probably a huge thing to the other person. I mean, is there a difference between making a difference in someone's life and then just helping them out and being nice?
You know, a lot of it is that, isn't it? Being nice is very different. Like that couple that negotiated roles, they're being nice, but they're doing it in kind of a formal, kind of almost impersonal sort of way. Attending the grandfather's funeral was much more personal, and she spoke up at that funeral as well, sort of thing. So, yeah, it's basically helping people feel better, get through things, doing nice things in that way. But our personality kind of shapes the style in which we go about those sorts of things.
So is this considered, would you say that this would be, based on the 500 people that you've interviewed, does it require these people to go outside their comfort zone to help anybody? Or is this, I mean, I know these are average, everyday citizens, but did they have to go over and beyond the call of duty and sacrifice themselves to help anybody?
You know, some did, but the majority did not. That's one of the beauties of it, sort of thing. Some people think you have to not be yourself. You have to do what the other person really wants in order to make a difference. It turns out the people that were more successful more frequently were folks that used their natural strengths to make a difference, both at work and in relationships. So one of the nice things that I found was that being yourself makes a big difference and plays right into the strengths that you have and makes it a lot easier. So, yeah, there's always a little bit of discomfort just for fear of what are they going to think, what are they going to say. But in general, by being yourself, you can stay more in your comfort zone and yet still make a big difference.
Okay. So have you ever met someone who hasn't made a difference in someone's life?
You know, of the 500 people that I interviewed, some needed a little coaxing and prodding to come up with the stories, but literally every one of those people was able to point to times when they made a difference. I think it's a basic human need. You know, some people do that more often than others, but I think it's a basic human need to feel like you're making a difference. It, in some ways, provides more meaning to life.
Well, I would definitely agree with that. And I think sometimes I might have made a difference in somebody's life, but I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't, I mean, I don't really take it stock or accounting for those types of things. I know some people who won't make a difference in someone's life without getting paid for it.
You know, that's, you get paid for it either way, only hopefully the payment that you're receiving is that kind of satisfaction of fulfilling your potential, as well as the satisfaction of seeing somebody else get through a difficult time or feel a little bit happier or be able to solve some sort of problem.
Right, and being a little bit selfless.
Yeah.
Okay, so how could people integrate this into their lives? If they want to make more of a difference in other people's lives and maybe they don't have a lot of money to do something, mm-hmm. What can they do? How can they start?
Well, my book it tries to help them do that. It spends a lot of time helping people identify what their natural strengths are, what their core personality is, and then what might be the, I've come up with 10 themes for each of those personality types of ways those types tend to make a difference. And so the next step would then be incorporating some of those into your daily life. And the whole last chapter gives a bunch of planning tools so you can plan how you're going to make a difference next week and the week after that. And then once it becomes a habit, it becomes something you look forward to each week. And so if we can think about making a difference in small ways as well as large ways and making it kind of a habit, something that we do on a weekly basis, we're likely to be able to feel better about ourselves and also help folks at work and folks that we care about.
All right, well, let's maybe take a look at some of the celebrities and people that we know who have made a difference and
okay.
who are more than likely to make a difference and who are more likely not to. Is that a possibility?
Well, I think everybody can make a difference. It's not so much who's going to make a difference and who doesn't, but rather who's willing to use their strengths to make a difference. So Mother Teresa made a heck of a difference in the way she did things, but we don't need to be Teresa to make a difference.
That's true. So we can do things in a very small way. All right, that's very cool. And so we can all basically make a difference. What's the plan? What's the first step here?
Well, the first step is I would suggest two things. One is to look for opportunities where you might make a difference. Think about something at work where you can make a difference, or think about a person where you want to make a difference in that relationship. And then second, know something about yourself. Know enough about your core strengths. And by the way, when I say being yourself, I don't mean being your bad self. I mean being the positive elements of who you are. And so discovering who you are and what your natural strengths are of your personality type would be an important thing to do. Then once you've got those two things kind of lined up, an opportunity where you can make a difference and some knowledge about yourself on how you might naturally make a difference, literally think about how you're going to approach that person or that situation at work, and then develop a plan where you're going to put that approach to making a difference into practice.
I have an idea. What about in a relationship with, you know, say you're married, and you've been a long-term marriage or something like that, maybe you can make a difference or do something nice for your spouse. You know, something like start small. Or you're out of work, your situation, and you can do something nice for the person that you don't speak to that often. Or if you're at school, you can sit next to the person who usually sits alone.
All of those would be terrific ways to add some joy to other people's lives. And again, how you go about that may be a function of your personality. I mean, the stabilizer type might make that just easier for people to solve some issues there at work. And the harmonizer type would be that person to sit next to that person on the couch and help them feel included. And the catalyst type might rally a bunch of people around a given cause of what's going on at work. And the visionary type might try to figure out, why are we doing all these individual tasks? How is this all kind of formed together so that we can feel a sense of progress as we all do our little pieces? So, yeah, I agree with you. Those would be steps forward, and then the style we go in that may be a function of who we are, our personality type.
Okay. Well, I think this is great information, and it helps people not only say making a difference is important, but also by understanding who you are and what type of personality type you have, it makes it easier and effortless to make a difference in other people's lives. Great, great book, Making a Difference by Being Yourself by Gregory Husko. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Lisa. That was fun.
Okay, thank you. And you can also go to theawareshow.com for any of the information that you just heard. And while I'm committed to bringing you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your own truth. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.